Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cooper, Global Chief Brand Officer and Senior Advisor at Edelman. Welcome to a special mini-series of The Trustmakers, where we will be recording from the 2022 Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity in France. So here we are. Over the next few days, we will be speaking with key figures about this year's festival and gather their insights on our sixth annual report on brand trust, the 2022 Edelman Trust Barometer Special Report, entitled The New Cascade of Influence. For the first episode in our mini-series, I'm joined by our very own esteemed leader, Mr. Richard Edelman. Richard has been the CEO of Edelman since 1996, and under his leadership, Edelman has become the largest communications firm in the world. He's also the creator of the Edelman Trust Barometer, one of the big reasons we're here today. It goes without saying, but he is perhaps the original trustmaker and as an authority on all things trust. Richard, welcome back, actually, to the show, because you've hosted a couple of these yourself. I thought it would be fun to maybe open this by saying, let's share some of the stories about how we got to be in Cannes, because it wasn't a place for PR firms, and we're now so baked into the festival, and you're so baked into the schedule.
Well, certainly the funniest moment was when you dressed me for Cannes, and you took me to Bloomingdale's and said, and so I was handed all sorts of clothes that I never wear, and you know, like tight T-shirts or you know, pink shorts and
there
of course
were no pink shorts, just for the record.
Okay, but the funniest was I was wearing kind of knee-high socks because my father said I should never show my ankles in a meeting, and so I come out in a pair of shorts with these things, and you started rolling on the floor with Gail Becker because I looked like something with lederhosen. Anyway, how far things have come since 2014 when I first made my debut in Cannes. But you and I had lunch with Phil Thomas, and he said, you know, we really want PR firms to come here, and we're going to have a PR Lions. And I said, what's Cannes? And he said, well, you should actually know something about this. And I said, well, please inform me. And what I've been persuaded of over the last decade is that brands have a huge role in the progress of society, and that we have every reason as Edelman to be here because the confluence of reputation and brand has never been more obvious. And the number of issues on which we have special insight, whether it's race and diversity or sustainability or geopolitics or wage levels and reskilling, you know, that's our sweet spot. We get that.
And how do you see the journey since we've come in terms of what's been awarded now? Do you see, you know, purpose is a word that gets bandied about a lot at Cannes, and the purpose word gets bandied about in submissions. How do you feel that's advanced since you've been attending, with given that this is so close to your heart, to actually make action and make a difference?
I mean, I remember coming here for the first few years and PR firms never won in the PR Lions, which drove me nuts. And then also, a campaign from a British bank would win because some lady would carry a water can over her head during a marathon. And I thought, wait, hold on, that doesn't make any sense. What are we really doing here? It's all symbolism. And I want to change the modality here to brands having to do action. And that's why I was so moved by our winning the titanium last year for the ASICS Eternal Run, which was produced during the height of the pandemic, about how people need to conduct themselves in a difficult period, and that there is no finish line, and that we are in this race for life. And, you know, our genius Swedes, the Rongis, understood that deeply, and taking 70 people to the desert and saying, okay, take off and finish when you're done. And that's such a parable for life.
It was a very emotional moment for Matthias and Stefan, and obviously I was so invested in that because we brought Di Portivo into the Edelman family. Yep. And it was hard at the beginning to see that we maybe needed to learn also how to submit the work. Maybe we know we do the work, but there's also a skill to submitting it and understanding how to show the work up beyond the PR categories, right? And this year we've got awards submissions across, I think, 25 out of all of the categories, which is amazing because we're showing breadth and depth of how the work is created. Do you have a sort of passion for any of the work in particular this year that you think I'm really hoping this is going to do well?
Well, stunningly, I'm for one that we did for our utility, which is the National Grid, because it basically sets up a green light when the grid is actually powered by renewables. So you can do your wash or something else and feel okay and good. I love the Xbox Masterpiece, which is a painting that literally depicts an Xbox game, except it's good enough to be in the Louvre.
It was in the Louvre.
And then the Vaseline See My Skin campaign is so damn important for people who are from diverse backgrounds. And lastly, I just love the Unilever reverse selfie because it gives the consumer the authority to basically check off influencers who are a force for evil in social about body shaming. And that can't be.
And I think it's incredible the journey we've been on with Dove. They're probably one of the most brilliant examples of standing up for beyond saying but actually doing. And here we are years later still talking about an extraordinary Dove campaign, agencies working together to make a difference in the world. I mean, that must make you super proud. I mean, I've worked on Dove since the first day that I came into the Edelman family, and here we are still talking about it.
Well, you'll remember that the initial study we did in Germany found that, in fact, 90%+ of women didn't like their body shape, and that became the piece of hard news that somehow enabled the campaign for Real Beauty. And I'm really proud of that. And the Dove client continues to inspire us with, okay, go get them, team.
So you say you are a brand person after all.
Oh, I'm a real brand person. After all these years in Cannes, I'm even wearing clothes that you approve of.
What I love about that is segues really nicely to our new report, which is out this week, and we've called it the new cascade of influence. And we're seeing in that report so much more to play for in terms of how to convince and motivate and engage people. Do you want to just talk about what really stood out for you in that report?
The first is that the so-called woke alarmists are totally wrong, that somehow the reality is that two-thirds of consumers buy brands which stand up for their values and speak for them. 85% of Gen Z are in that group. And the array of issues that are expected to be covered by brands is no longer just about the consumer. It is about how you treat employees or what's your supply chain or, you know, how the products are used and then, you know, appropriate disposal. So it, in fact, you know, in a certain way, the brand is the face forward of the corporation and therefore expected to lead. But I also was really fascinated by the gravitational pull of Gen Z, that 70% of Gen Z somehow has a social or political cause. Stunning. But the 25 to 55s follow Gen Z in terms of purchase behavior because they think they're smarter. They know more about the products. They somehow are more in the real world. And so, again, when we talk to Gen Z, we're not just talking to them. We're talking to the whole demographic array.
We've never seen that before. We've never seen one generation push so much. And I was at a meeting with one of our pharmaceutical clients, and we presented information about Gen Z. And the CMO leant forward, and she said, "I've just realized if I don't have Gen Z, I don't have my business of tomorrow."
You know, I was considering, you know, the data and thinking back to when I was sort of that age, which was, you know, late 60s, early 70s. And could you argue that the boomers had a similar effect? I don't think so. They didn't get people to generate purchase. It was, yes, they're protesting. Yes, we should get out of Vietnam. Or yes, we should have better race relations. But it was almost more negative than positive. It seems to me that the Gen Zs are deeply positive because, as opposed to protest, that theirs is, and we're going to lead this.
Yeah, and they're also all about the we rather than me. And they're saying, look, if my country's in good shape, I've got a better chance to be in good shape. So the action is underneath all of that, right? That they're not just saying, I'm flagging an issue. They're actually saying, I'm flagging an issue, and what are you going to do about it? And the brands have to step up in the absence of government being able to fix anything. You've been saying this with the brand data for the last few years. Do you feel like it's moved along enough? What can we sort of help brands who might be listening to this learn from what we've seen in that passage over the last few years?
Well, I think we identified belief-driven buying about 5 years ago. But what's happened now is the array of issues from proper treatment of employees, which started during the pandemic, the expectations of race and diversity after the murder of George Floyd, the more recent sustainability push in the wake of Glasgow, COP26. All of these are balls that the brand's going to have to juggle. And the ability of brands to inspire, you know, the ideas that were proposed this morning. Gary Kasparov and I spoke at Cannes Festival about the idea of Regain Ukraine. And Regain Ukraine is a positive campaign in which brands can do cause-related marketing to help restore cultural landmarks or to give jobs to women who are sole support for the household because the husband's off fighting in the war. So again, it's the moment for brands to be activist about Ukraine.
What's brilliant about this conversation, and in all the years we've known each other since you very kindly bought my agency and learned so much working in Edelman, is that we used to be in separate parts. You were this political, corporate, kind of over there superpower, and you went, Jackie, I know what you're doing in brand is great, it's not my world. Now these two worlds, yours and my world, are absolutely colliding, and I did sort of smile to myself that this week in Cannes, we are literally talking geopolitics on the stage. This is how much things have changed. Our worlds are colliding. The brand's world colliding with activism. Not only colliding, but actually massive expectation to make a difference. And that the Gen Z generation are saying to brands, listen, use your superpower. Your superpower is your money, your reach, your ability to make a proper difference. So Gen Z is so important for us, and our worlds are now the same world, Richard. We're not corporate and brand anymore. We're just the world.
Yeah, well, I think the kind of Venn diagram of the intersecting circles of corporate reputation and brand marketing is evident. And I'm just going to out myself, but saying that the first time we met, actually, you were doing a audition for Wonder Bra models, and I brought my then 80-year-old father to meet you. And I don't know, he was like, what have you brought me to? I said, this is the most creative agency in London. Believe me, they're amazing. Take a look. And so he was quite persuaded. And, you know, he basically adopted you as his second daughter and thought you were sunshine. And so, you know, every day I think about that because my dad really understood the power of marketing, but in particular, the power of PR in telling the truth, in making sure that people had something more than a one-way conversation that they could have in a way. He to go back to some of his early work, people dislike getting direct mail. And so he said, if you don't like it, sign off. We won't send it to you. But it's a valuable part of information flow so that you have a fuller story than just ads. But the point of permission and the point of brands being in the day-to-day flow of issues, it's become so much faster because Gen Z is so dominant in social channels. And Gen Z is making the news flow on TikTok. But people use TikTok as a primary source of information. If that's the case, then brands have to participate and not have it just be anybody's whatever experience. It's, well, by the way, this is how we source, or this is what we care about. And make sure your story is told by not just ads, but influencers with serious expertise in the product.
Well, I think when we look at that data and we found that social media isn't where change happens anymore.
That's
social
stunning.
Media is where, you know, information happens, but then the change has to happen in the real world, in all aspects of where a brand shows up. And we talk about in the sale process, but we don't mean just at the point of sale. We mean in any purchase point or any communication about purchasing. We're beyond a PR company, but how do you think that affects how CMOs need to market? Because that's literally being everywhere that you touch.
I think CMOs need to recognize that consumers care more about their country by far, 3-to-1, than they do about themselves. It's not about self-image. It's not about self-improvement. It's not about badge brands. That's very sort of 2000. Now it's we instead of me. It's about community. I think the pandemic, followed by the murder of George Floyd, followed by the shock of, you know, 1.5 degree increase in Celsius in temperatures, people are scared. People are scared about society. 85% of people say they're afraid of job loss because of automation. 75% scared about climate change. These are big numbers. If you're selling into an atmosphere of fear, brands have to reassure people and they have to be part of the solution. And they can be.
When we looked at our data, a majority of respondents, 57%, want to see a brand's values and its position on important issues when they're about to make a purchase. And 62%, so much more, of Gen Z demand the same. You know, we announced that we're launching our Gen Z Lab last week. It's a brand new resource. We've got 100 Gen Zers in Edelman who've stepped up to be part of this lab. We have outside advisors. We have the world's first CEO in Harris Reed, who's fielding creative and cultural consultancy for us. Why do you think Gen Z will so much influence? What is it that's happened to the Gen Z generation that has suddenly escalated this demand for change and this demand for impact?
If you look at the reality that 85% of 14 to 17-year-olds say, I'm only going to buy a product if it stands up on values and improves society, versus 68% of the 18 to 25, there is a change. There is a shift that has happened in the last couple of years, again, because of the pandemic, because of the Russian invasion in Ukraine, because of the scare about climate, because of the murder of George Floyd. All of these are dominoes that have all happened to these 14 to 17-year-olds at a time of deep, you know, impression. The same thing happened to me in this certain way, because in one year in 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. There was riots in Chicago at the time of the Democratic Convention. I mean, I was 14 years old. For my football practice, I had to run through protesters with tear gas. And my then football coach said, buckle on your chin straps, men. We're going through this rabble. And we were like more with them than we were with the coach. But I saw all this and it fried my mind about what was going on in my country. And I think the Gen Z have seen enough in the last couple of years to say, the leaders aren't leading, we're going to lead. And that's what's so damn inspiring, that they're not sitting there and just passively taking it and saying, oh, we'll do more gaming. No, they're going to actually do the game on the field as they can.
Well, Richard, it's been brilliant having this conversation. It's a bit of a milestone for you and me, so I'm touched that we can do this together. That's all the time we have for. Thank you for your insights, for your expertise, for your leadership. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.